Virtues that I think we could identify. Now, I'm not a theologian with a capital T. I'm not a Yeronda from Mount Athos or some other holy place. So this is just my opinion, one Christian to another. But I think that there are two virtues that are probably most important to our struggle as Christians. Two virtues that are most important to our relationship with God, most important to our relationship with one another, and most important in fulfilling our capacity for personal growth. Two virtues. And there's tons of virtues out there. But if we were to narrow it down to two, and it's interesting because you really have to have one to have the other, they almost have to be together. And here's the two virtues. It's love and it's gratitude. Love and gratitude. And in this morning's gospel reading, the gospel reading of the 10 lepers, we have beautiful and valuable lessons about these two paramount virtues of love and gratitude. We see the virtue of unconditional love, agape, in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? And it's really, really important for us to consider what type of love we're talking about. Because in English, we might have a handful of words for love, but as you know, in Greek, there are a myriad words of love. There are words for the love of brothers. There are words for the love of family. There are words for the love of country. There are words for jealous love. There are words for passionate love. There are words for selfish love, right? All these different types of love. But when we consider all of the types of love, the greatest type of love, the type of love offered by Christ, the type of love that we emulate in Christ, the type of love that the saints typify, is agape. It is unconditional love. It is a profound outpouring of generosity and care for all of creation. Where are you from? Greece, Mexico, Romania, Timbuktu, doesn't matter. You're a child of God, and God's love is poured out upon you, just as the sun shines on everybody. What kind of a person are you? Are you a good person? Are you a righteous person? Are you a loving person? Are you a bitter person? Are you a resentful person? Are you an angry person? It doesn't matter. God's love is poured out upon you just as the sun shines on the righteous and the wicked. What's your standing? Are you dirt poor? Are you fabulously wealthy? Are you extremely educated? Or did you come over after World War II having only finished something like a third grade education? It doesn't matter. In terms of God's unconditional, generous, all-consuming outpouring of love, none of that matters. He loves you deeply. He loves you profoundly. He loves you wantonly. And again, I'm going to step aside and I'm just going to point to the evidence. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're going to go back to the Christmas icon. When Jesus was incarnate, the creator of the universe became a defenseless baby. Not any defenseless baby. A defenseless baby born into a pretty poor household, born while they're traveling away from home, put in a trough because there was no crib. And when you look at the manger in the icon, it doesn't look like a manger. It looks like a tomb because Jesus came for a purpose. And his purpose was to offer himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And what did Jesus say to his crucifiers? What did he pray to God the Father concerning those who were piercing his side, running nails through his hands, running nails through his feet, ridiculing him as he hung on the cross to die? What was his prayer? Not, oh Father, send lightning down upon them. Not, oh Father, send them to the depths of the regions of hell. Not, oh Father, consume them in flame. Not, avenge your son. What was his prayer? Father, forgive them. That's right, Danny. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't it extraordinary that we are enveloped with this type of unconditional love that our Creator pours upon us, bathes us in, right? And that's why Jesus healed the 10 lepers. There were 10 lepers who came to him. Now, it's really important to really get what kind of love we're talking about. The lepers really help us. Because in Jesus' day, there was no treatment for leprosy, and it was rampant. And if you were a leper, you would be taken outside of the city walls, and you would be placed in a leper colony where no one ever went because they were terrified of getting leprosy, and you would be only there with other lepers, and you would basically hang out there until you died a horrible and excruciating and kind of gross death out beyond the city walls, away from mom, away from dad, away from brothers, away from sisters, away from everybody. Right? So people were terrified of leprosy because it was highly contagious, it was lethal, and it was a complete and total ostracization from your entire family and civilization. So when Jesus heals the 10 lepers, he's not healing like a kid with a runny nose. He's not healing the mayor who like sprained his wrist. He is showing his unconditional love. No matter how gross you are, no matter how hopeless your situation is, no matter how infectious and contagious your maladies are, Jesus' love and healing is still poured upon you because he loves us wantonly and unconditionally. He loves us with the love of the Father for the son or the daughter. So he heals the 10 lepers, and one of the lepers, in addition to being a leper, was even a Samaritan. And Samaritans, to Jews, to Jesus' people, were pariah. They were almost worse than the Romans because they were like almost Jews, but they didn't quite get it. They were a hated people. And of the 12 lepers who Jesus heals, one comes back to show our second virtue, that of gratitude. And which one is it? It's the Samaritan. It's not the 11 members of the community. It's not the 11 who know and profess God. It's not the 11 who are righteous and upstanding. It's the last one you would think is the one who thinks to return and give thanks to God for his healing. Now, the amazing thing is that we are bathed and enveloped in God's love, but yet for many of us, we are completely and totally desensitized to God's love. Even though His Spirit is right here in this room, even though He's all around us, we are so wound up with ingratitude, we're so wound up with resentment, we're so wound up with materialism, we're so wound up in our egos, we're so wound up thinking about what we need, and want, that we are unable to open our hearts to the reality of the abundant gifts we have already received, the gifts of God's unconditional love. And when we open our hearts in gratitude, we are able to receive God's love. And when we are able to receive God's love, miraculously, we are able to also share God's love. Suddenly, the unforgivable can be forgiven. Right? I love the phrase, and I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't have it with me here today. I read it in church a couple of weeks ago. But gratitude's amazing, right? Because it can turn a little into enough. It can turn a house into a home. It can turn being lost into a direction. Gratitude completely and totally transforms our lives because it allows us to receive and then share the love of God. And I'm going to close by saying this. St. Paul, he said this. He said, if I don't have love, then all of my faith amounts to a dunghill. You know what dung is, right? Yeah. St. Paul says, without love, I'm a noisy gong. I'm a clanging cymbal. I'm just a bunch of hoopla and nonsense if I don't have love. But love brings it all together. And gratitude gives us access to love. So let us be like the one leper. Let us be like the Samaritan. Let us try to emulate humility and gratitude. And let us thank God for His abundant gifts, so that we might be recipients and then distributors of His infinite and unconditional love. This is what the saints did, and this is what we're called to emulate and strive towards ourselves. May God bless each and every one. Thank you for your attention.